Republican congressional candidate Mia Love speaks at the Republican National Convention. Her opponent, Congressman Jim Matheson, makes a speech of his own in Salt Lake. And immigrant advocacy groups are holding deferred action status workshops around the state. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, August 29th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Saratoga Springs Mayor and Utah Congressional candidate Mia Love took the stage last night at the GOP National Convention. KUER's Terry Gilday has more.
A video montage introduced Love, showcasing her as a mayor and mother. Her speech was brief. Love spoke for just under 4 minutes, but she quickly invoked the story of her Haitian immigrant parents and what they taught her about American values.
So the America I grew up knowing was centered in self-reliance and filled with the possibilities of living the American dream.
Love pledged her support to Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. Then she laid out her opposition to the current administration.
President Obama's version of America is a divided one, often pitting us against each other based on income level, gender, and social status. His policies have failed us. We're not better off than we were 4 years ago, and no rhetoric, bumper sticker, or Hollywood campaign ad can change that.
Absent from Love's speech were any mention of her congressional race or her Mormon faith. Earlier in the day, the Utah delegation pledged all 40 of their votes to Mitt Romney. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
Earlier in the day, Utah Congressman Jim Matheson spoke out against his opponent Mia Love's support for downsizing or abolishing the U.S. Department of Education. The Democratic incumbent held a news conference at Salt Lake Community College. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Matheson brought along two University of Utah students to speak about the importance of college grants and loans, which come from the U.S. Department of Education. The congressman told the crowd that if Mia Love had her way, those federal programs would cease to exist.
This is just a very radical proposal to say that we shouldn't have financial aid for kids to go to college.
Matheson says even Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and his running mate Paul Ryan aren't willing to back the plan.
All I know is we voted on maintaining the lower student loan rates in Congress this summer. Paul Ryan voted just the way I did to do that, and Governor Romney spoke out in support of the bill. So I would say they support subsidized student loans for students to go to school.
Love's campaign did not return calls for the story, but in a recent interview with KUER, Love said local and state officials should be making decisions about education.
So I want to do everything I can to put the decision-making back into the hands of the parents and the teachers. Because when you've got a one-size-fit-all federal government solution to education, it just doesn't work.
Matheson pointed out that Love herself accepted student loans to complete her education. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
It's not citizenship, and it's not permanent, but many Utah immigrants are lining up to apply for deferred action status. A federal rule change went into effect this month, allowing those who arrived in the country as children to stay in the U.S. and work legally for 2 years. Immigrant advocacy groups are holding workshops all over the state to help people through the application process, including one Thursday night in Kearns. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
About 70 people fill a meeting room at Utah Cultural Celebration Center in West Valley City. Jessica Carlson is one of the coordinators for this information session on deferred action.
People are coming out and very excited. This isn't even giving them citizenship. This isn't even permanent. This is 2 years, and they are jumping at the opportunity.
The new policy defers deportation and grants work authorization to those who enter the U.S. before their 16th birthday, who've been in the country for at least 5 years, and who are currently under 31. Applicants must either be in school, have graduated from high school, or have earned their GED, and must not have a serious criminal record. When President Obama first made his announcement in June, immigrant advocates estimated that about 8,000 Utahns could potentially qualify. 18-year-old Sol Jimenez is one of the organizers and is applying for deferred action status herself.
It's incredible how many people are showing up to these information forums. It's incredible how many people would benefit from this. You know, people I didn't even know there were so many people in our community that would be so impacted.
Jimenez came here from Mexico when she was 2 years old. She's just starting her freshman year at the University of Utah.
You know, I can actually start getting a job now, start living on my own. internships, volunteering opportunities, all those things where you need a social. It's been opening a lot of doors as far as opportunistic things for my career and for my college path.
But along with the excitement about new opportunities, there is also fear and uncertainty.
Could you give me more detail what is significant is to me?
Attorney Mark Alvarez is leading the information session and fielding questions.
The big concern is it real? I think it is. I think immigration has put in place a process to start evaluating people for deferred action. Some questions about criminal records. Will juvenile records affect my possibilities for deferred action? Another, is this a permanent fix? It's not. It's recognized in the documentation that this is temporary, that it will last for 2 years, possibly be renewed for another 2 years, but it's not a permanent fix.
Eduard Hernandez is 22 and in the middle of his application process. He came today with a question about how to identify his status. Should he write illegal or no lawful status? For Hernandez and all the immigrants I spoke with, there is a concern about what will happen down the line, since the policy is not permanent, and whether they may eventually face deportation.
Well, that's on everyone's mind right now when you're undocumented, but like my parents tell me, you live an honest life and you try and not get in trouble with the law and you'll be good.
Hernandez says the benefits far outweigh the risks.
I'm just taking my chances. I mean, if this is an opportunity and I'm going to take full advantage of it, and if I apply, that's very good for me. But if not, then I will have to make other plans.
With deferred action status, Hernandez says he can go to school to be an ER nurse. Without it, he may decide to go back to Mexico to pursue his education there. But for those who've been in trouble with the law or have used an illegal Social Security number, the decision may not be so clear-cut. For them, it may not be worth the risk of exposure. The application asks for your Social Security number, if any. Mark Alvarez says those people should speak to an attorney.
I think under the Fifth Amendment, people should not have to divulge numbers that don't belong to them, right not to self-incriminate. Many know the right to remain silent. I think that argument should prevail. On the other hand, I think it's also good that people be honest and divulge information that's being asked for. That is a headache for almost every immigration attorney I've spoken to. We don't know how to advise people. And so what we do is lay out the alternatives. Ultimately, the person makes the choice.
Sol Jimenez says it's a tough call, but she thinks people should take advantage of this opportunity to step out of the shadows.
It's worth that risk to actually be able to contribute now, to actually be able to put yourself out there and be seen and recognized for what you're doing.
The Utah chapter of the American Immigration Lawyers Association and Holy Cross Ministries are offering numerous workshops around the state to answer questions and walk people through the process if they decide they want to apply. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Consumer attitudes barely budged in Utah over the past month. At least that's what the monthly Zions Bank survey is showing. KUER's Todd Patton has more.
Zions Bank hosted their Consumer Attitude Index press conference at the downtown Tony Caputo's Market. The research for the study is done by the Cicero Group, and they found that Utah's overall Consumer Attitude Index went up by a mere 0.3 points in the month of August. Randy Shumway is the CEO of the Cicero Group. He says he expects minimal changes to continue each month until November.
What the presidential election offers is an answer. Whether it goes left or right, it will at least provide some stability.
Matt Caputo is the director of marketing at Tony Caputo's. He says his business is noticing a different attitude that reflects a steady local economy.
It is interesting to see over the last few months people loosening up a little bit, where they would maybe have a knee-jerk reaction to just, oh, that's the cheapest one, I'm going to go with that one. They're interested, you know. Tell me about this one. What is it like? Is it really worth it? And we're seeing that again.
Utah's overall index score is now 76.9, which is 16.3 points higher than the national U.S. Consumer Confidence Index. Todd Patton, KUER News.
The West Valley City Council has decided not to release police records in the investigation of Susan Powell's disappearance. Her family had asked the city to release the records and could now file a lawsuit to get them. Police argued releasing the records could compromise their ongoing investigation of her disappearance and later incidents that ended in the suicide of her husband, Josh Powell, and the murder of their two sons in Puyallup, Washington. Lucy Schwartz's family says she was planning to leave her fiancé because his life was going down in flames. Instead, her body was found along with his on Monday at his home in Orem. Joseph Berg was a plastic surgeon who became addicted to drugs, lost his medical license, and served jail time for a kidnapping incident with Schwartz last year. And finally, a recovery program has brought the California condor back from the edge of extinction and established a population along the Utah-Arizona border. But the birds are still facing danger from lead poisoning, shootings, and predators. A 5-year review of the program released this week shows an increase in free-ranging condors and breeding pairs, but the birds often consume fragments of lead bullets left in animal carcasses. The condor is the largest land bird in North America. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, August 29th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.